Hey everyone, so welcome back to another episode of the Hello Spring Podcast, and I wanted to say that we are getting very close to the end of the first season of this podcast, which is crazy, but I did want to say that in this episode, we are going to have one of my good friends and talented creators that I know who is really good at info/thought videos on YouTube about The Sims, Sonic, variety gameplay, Twitch streamer, YouTube, and a well-round good person. And that, my friends, is Iron Seagull, or Julian. You may know him on the internet as Julian, but he is a talented YouTube creator and Twitch streamer. He loves variety gameplay like Sonic, Nintendo games, The Sims, and so much more. And if you are a person that wants to get to know a little bit more about The Sims, rumors, you know, speculations, or just a well-rounded Sims kid in general, then I honestly believe that you all should go listen to today's episode and check out Julian's YouTube channel. All of his links will be down below in the show notes, but let's go ahead and hop into today's episode. Well, Julian, thank you so much for being on this podcast, because honestly, I never know who to ask. There's so many people who like say, oh, have this person on your podcast. And I'm like, there's so many people. I'm like, I don't know if I should ask them because I feel like they're going to say no. Plus, I'm an anxious person and just can't ask for help or ask for anything. So stepping out of my comfort zone once more. Thank you again for, you know, saying yes and being on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. I was hoping I would be asked to be on the podcast, and it's been such a long time since we've got to talk like this, since, yeah, there haven't really been any Sims camps and such recently.
Yeah, I just realized that I have not been to, like, a Sims camp probably, I'm going to say, since EA Play from, like, 2 years ago.
Same. Yeah, last one was EA Play when we went for, like, Island Living.
That's what it was? I thought it was something completely different.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, it would be 2019 because that was, like, yeah, June 2019. That's when that pack came out. And then 2020 didn't happen. Well, at least not in person anyways, but
true.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought 2 years ago was 2018. Anyway.
I mean, what is time really at this point?
True. Because I'm like, all my days just blend together. I still think it's like a Friday every day or some other weird day. Anyway, how has your weekend been going? Today's a Sunday by the time that we're recording this.
It's been all right. I've just been relaxing a bit because, this past week, Cottage Living got announced and I've been just busy as all heck, and the weekend I'm glad I get to relax a little bit because not too much news usually happens on the weekend. I hope you've had some time to relax as well.
Yeah, I have had some time to relax here and there. Ever since we like announced Cottage Living, I was like, okay, I need this, I need that, I need that. And I was like thinking, okay, I can play Stardew Valley for a couple days. I can play The Sims 3 with all the store content, the farming DLC for a couple days and do some videos on that. I'm like, I have so many ideas and I'm just like, oh man, it's going to be good. But I've had time to relax though a little bit because I have so many projects that I'm working on for like YouTube and Twitch and this podcast for season 2. It's a lot, but it's worth it though.
Oh, interesting. It's in a season format. Cool.
Yeah, because honestly, the podcast, I at first thought I was going to start it, you know, on my birthday, which I did, and continue it to the end of the year, just like, don't stop. And I realized that I'm way too busy than I thought I was. And I'm like, I'm going to do it in seasons because this will give me a good way to figure out where the podcast stands, what people like, don't like, what can I change, you know, reevaluate for the next season and stuff. So it'll be very exciting to see when we get to that point, because this will be episode 18.
Oh, cool. Yeah, totally makes sense. I mean, even when you really love something, you still need a bit of time to cool down so that, well, you don't burn out. So it's good to take some time to just kind of refresh yourself, maybe get some inspiration.
Exactly. Plus, you know, one day, cross my fingers, putting that out there. Will Wright, if you're listening, probably not. I don't know. I want you on my podcast. I want Will Wright so badly. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. I was like, oh, yes, I really hope Steven gets it. That'd be so cool.
I'll be coming to you for, like, questions because I'll make a fool of myself just being there. I'm like, wow, the creator of The Sims. You're like my father, but not really. But you gave me my dream job playing The Sims for a living.
Well, I actually do have a bit of a journalistic background even before I started doing YouTube. So, yeah, if you need help with that, no problem.
Oh. Oh, well, that's interesting to know. Speaking of journalism. Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. I will for sure ask you for sure. So speaking of, you know, your background and stuff, would you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Like who Iron Seagull, Julian, who he is?
Well, I'm born and raised in Canada. I'm part of a mixed family because my dad is of a German background and my mom is from Sri Lanka. It's a little island off the coast of India, for those of you who don't know, because I often do have to explain it. But yeah, I was born and raised in Canada. So it's been an interesting background to be a part of. And I've been playing video games since I was like, I think, 3 or 4 years old, playing games like Mickey's 1-2-3 and Wacky Wheels and stuff like that. So I know there's a lot of simmers you've had before. A lot of people do tend to just play like The Sims or Minecraft, but I've been gaming long before even The Sims came out. So
yeah,
it's that's definitely been a thing. And around like high school was when I actually started to get into journalism, because with high school, I'm not sure how it is over where you are in the States, but you have to do like mandatory community service hours before you graduate. Hmm. So I actually ended up helping a local radio station get off the ground. And that's kind of what got me into it. I just realized, oh yeah, like journalism could be a thing for me. So I went to college for broadcast journalism. And it's not like it was fun to do in college, but I realized it's not something I want to do forever, you know, because journalism, like it's such a fast pace thing, especially with like a news station working around the clock all the time. So I kind of got into a bit of like advertising as well. And then YouTube kind of like mixes those things together. So now I've been doing YouTube for about 8 years now. Yeah, it's been a very interesting ride, from just uploading random videos of The Sims 3 sometimes with no commentary to what I do now with speculation videos and Let's Plays and ambient ASMR and all this other stuff.
Yeah. Those are like, that's really cool. I did not know that, because discovered and found you. When I first met you, you were a very cool person, very energetic and exciting and fun to hang out with, because I think the first time we met up was like Sims Camp for Get Famous.
Actually, I think it was for City Living in 2016. Yeah, that was the first one I went to. And I'm pretty sure you'd be invited to most of those. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I just remembered a random moment from that Sims Camp, actually. I think it's in my vlog, too, where there's like a cardboard cutout. I think it was one of the Sims from City Living. And you're like pretending like, oh, I'm going to take this home.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh my gosh, I remember those memories. I miss Sims Camp so bad. Because those were the fun times where we all got to meet up and like, I guess, unwind. Because for me, at least, I think when you're at Sims Camp, you're there for work because you're working to get content out, of course. But then it's like we get to take away our YouTube brain and like our social media brain and just be quote unquote normal people, because we always have to be on so much when we record and upload to YouTube and on social media. It's kind of exhausting, you know? So I enjoy those times.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I always call those workations because, yeah, as you said, we have kind of a little bit of time to socialize and unwind and talk about all the YouTube things. And then, then we got to work really hard to get all the footage and try to cover as much of the expansion as possible. It's quite interesting and definitely some of the best times I've had in my life. So,
yeah. Same. City Living was an interesting time, let me tell you, because you were there and I just remember the karaoke scene. That was
that's where that infamous gif came from too, with Sala getting the shot open with the Dylan singing the, I forget what song it was, but it was definitely like not super family friendly, and you were just like, whoa, Dylan.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but all I know, I looked down at my phone doing whatever. I think I was playing some game, I think, because I was just sitting there. And I just hear words. I'm like, what? I got very confused. And so that gif that people see on the internet that I post pretty much almost every year, or any pack that's released, that is what it's from. 2016 City Living Camp. Thank Fixella.
Yeah, I think I was like at the next table over and I was laughing so hard.
It was, that was a time that we just all remember very vividly.
Yeah, man, I wish I had the courage at the time to sing too. Though I ended up doing that at the Get Famous one because I sang the Get Together song, Beautiful Now. I was tempted to do the Simlish version, but I did it in English, and I think I did okay.
Yeah, I forgot that there was karaoke back there. I know I did one song. I don't know it was who, but I just know I did one song that was it. It was so far in the back that I like didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, that's true. It was kind of odd how that time it was more like off to the side, but then with the City Living one, it was kind of like at that big sort of bar at EA.
Yeah, and I guess because the whole idea for City Living was like the city and karaoke and hanging out with your friends and the diversity of the worlds and the neighborhoods and everything was like kind of introducing all of that to the mix. And then Get Famous was more like being famous, acting and all that stuff. So that, like, that was different, but.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the karaoke, honestly, is one of my favorite features of City Living. I use that a lot.
I haven't used it in a while. I wish we had, like, a smaller one, because some of the stuff in Sims 4 is so big. And I'm like, I need smaller things so I can put it in my house and not put it in the backyard where it rains and then it destroys everything. So I need something like that.
I guess it would have been good if there was one with just the microphones or, like, a really, really small speaker.
Yeah. That would have been pretty epic, because I think there was the arcade machine from Get Together.
Oh, Get Together. Yeah, yeah. That one's huge.
I want a small one. I want like a pinball machine. I need something small so I can live vicariously through my Sims at least.
Yeah, even though Laundry Day, I in my opinion, at least turned out really well. There was one of those other ideas, arcade stuff. I kind of wish that would become a thing. But then again, some of those ideas that were like the runner-ups we've still gotten, like with paranormal stuff, that was like at least half of the Happy Haunts thing from that other vote.
That's right.
So maybe we'll get it.
Hopefully, because I forget about the surveys all the time. My chat reminds me all the time, like, oh, like we had a survey back then about something and I don't remember what it was, and they just remember it somehow because my brain is mush after like 10 minutes. So it's very interesting to like see the surveys like come to life in many different forms, where like they'll pick one or two things from one and then the other one from another one and then kind of put it together, because the Happy Haunts is now the paranormal, like you said, because we were going to get a Grim Reaper career, but that was going to be in Happy Haunts, but we didn't end up getting it. So we got Hilda instead.
Yeah, that's actually the thing I was hoping for most, that Grim Reaper career. I really still hope they do that, because I'm sure even the Sim Gurus, at least hoping they realize that there's a lot of potential in that, kind of unraveling some of the backstory of the Grim Reaper and becoming a Reaper yourself. I always remember that episode of Supernatural where Dean became Death for a day, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that in The Sims. So, yeah, hopefully one day they'll do that too still.
Hopefully, because it will make sense. I would love to learn more about the Grim Reaper. I just know the traditional story, and I just make up random backstories for them just because I'm just that weird and I just need to know. But yeah, if we end up having a Grim Reaper career in The Sims 4, that would be very, very nice. Get to see where he started, or they started, I guess, and kind of going down the line of like why they became the Grim Reaper. What were they before? What was their name before? You know, all that different stuff, because The Sims has definitely been adding a lot more story into the packs recently. And it's been, for at least for me, I'm not sure for you, but it's been one of the best things I've enjoyed. Since Strangerville, when they started adding more stories into the mix, because I get to learn more about the lore, the Sims, and why they are there and why, you know, the way they are.
Yeah, definitely is interesting in that way, especially like with the sentiments with Snowy Escape. They have the sentiments between the families as well. So it's a little bit demonstrated through gameplay, not just flavor text in the map view. So I really hope they do that with Henford on Bagley, with Cottage Living, because I do establish my own lore, because I know there's like that timeline where it's like The Sims 3 is before The Sims 1, and then The Sims 2 I think is after The Sims 1, and then 4 is its own alternate universe, but I throw that away for my Let's Plays, and I actually have it in like the sequential order where it's like starts with Sims 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. It's a lot easier that way, but it is cool to have a bit more of established lore too, so I'm not just making everything up, and there's also kind of like some interesting things to coordinate with as a storyteller.
Yeah, at least for me, I always go in like reverse order, because I tend to see it as like Sims 3, because Bella, I always see Mortimer and Bella as, because they're children in the game, and then I'm like, okay, they age up, and then move on to The Sims 1 and The Sims 2, and then Bella's disappearing, Mortimer's an elder, Cassandra's a young adult or an adult, and then Alexander's a teenager. So I'm like, okay, that timeline works. And then Sims 4, like, what is that? Who? Where? Because, like, when you think about it, it's like Sims 3, 1, 4, and then 2. Because Alexander is a child.
Yeah.
And he wasn't reborn in The Sims 1, but Cassandra's a teenager. It's like, in a way, the timeline kind of works, but doesn't really exist.
Yeah, and it's kind of random, some of the changes they've done with The Sims. Like, I know people don't like Katrina being there. It's like, what? She wasn't there in The Sims 2.
Yeah. I was like, who is she?
I'm glad with Mrs. Crumplebottom, like, she looks really similar to how she does in The Sims 2.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, that was the way to do it.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I was so excited when they brought back Agnes Crunklebottom. Like, I had a feeling deep down in my soul that she was going to return with all of her abuse and hitting Glory with her curse, because those were the good old days. Sims 2 is what I remember the most because of how she would literally abuse your Sim with her purse. I thought she had bricks in there because they would hurt, but
still
kind of happy.
Yeah, I remember you were even saying before that you wish that Mrs. Crumplebottom had been in the Nifty Knitting Stuff pack, which I guess would have made sense, though they already did quite a bit with that one, in my opinion. So that's good that they still managed to fit her into this cottage living pack.
Yeah, I wonder what she'll be like, because she's going to be an NPC sim with Agatha, with like her alter ego, I guess. I'm not sure what they look like, but I think that if she has the same autonomous thing, like knitting, and then like seeing people and hitting them, that'll be really cool, because that was fun.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that too. She probably will be a non-playable character, and so that she'll have those behaviors of whacking other Sims with the purse and hopefully getting out those knitting needles once in a while.
True. At least in The Sims 4, though, you can add any Sim that you see in your view, which is great. But yeah, I wonder. That'd be very, very interesting. But you said towards like the beginning of the episode that you just don't play The Sims. You play other variety games, and I did a venture to your YouTube channel to do some more research, and I see you love Sonic.
Oh, yeah.
Mario and Nintendo.
Yeah, definitely. I play a lot of Nintendo games, for sure. So, and Sonic as well. I got into Sonic around the same time as The Sims, actually, because how I remember with The Sims, I was introduced to it through a family friend, and The Sims 1 was actually out, and a couple of the expansions were already released, Live in Large and House Party, because I vividly remember seeing the House Party loading screen. That was my introduction to it.
Oh.
And I didn't quite understand it at first, because I thought, okay, I guess it's kind of like Pokemon, where it's more like an RPG, focus on leveling up, except it's with a job. But then when I still remember specifically the mechanical bull was what made it just click with me, where it's like, okay, it's about having fun too. It's not just about the level grinding and such. It's about everything with life, including the fun parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then with Sonic, I was at Future Shop. It's not really a thing anymore. Like, I'm in Canada, but at the time it was called Future Shop, and now it's Best Buy. And it had recently opened up, and it was in the Game Boy Advance section, and I just saw the box art for Sonic Advance, and I just felt oddly drawn to it. I was like, I have no idea what this is, but I feel like I want to check this out. And my parents were like, are you sure this is worth it? Because I was spending my own money on it, because I was like 11 or 12 at the time. And I was like, yeah, like, I want to try this. And then when I got home, I played it, and by the end of Neo Green Hill Zone Act 1, the first level, I was like, yes, this is it. I guess I was just meant to be a Sonic fan all this time.
It was in your DNA. You just knew. Just knew.
Yeah. I think there's even like some, I might be wrong about this, but I've heard there's like some Sonic Hedgehog gene or something like that. It sounds kind of funny to me. I haven't looked that up in quite a while, but I heard about it before.
Yeah. What? Okay. So speaking of Sonic, have you seen the Sonic movie, like the new one?
Yes.
what do you think of it? Because I just watched it a couple days ago, and it looks really good. It was very funny, honestly, even though it's like so short.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a hardcore Sonic fan, I was terrified about that movie because, you know, like, a lot of video game movies turned out really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully, they seem to have known what they were doing. I know, like, there was the initial trailer, and it had that really terrible looking CGI Sonic. And then they had Tyson Hess come in and fix the design because he worked on like Sonic Mania and some other Sonic stuff before. So like, yeah, he knew what he was doing and he made Sonic look a lot better. I really like the design as it is now with this live action teenager Sonic. And overall, yeah, I think they did a really good job. There are some kind of like fun Easter eggs for like the Sonic games and such, but it still like stands out on its own. Like it's clearly its own universe. It's not meant to be the same Sonic from the games. It's a different thing altogether. And I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen with the sequel, which is already supposed to be coming out next year because Tails is going to be in it. And they had like the leaked sets that I did a video on before where Knuckles actually got leaked even before.
What?
They still haven't announced officially Knuckles' presence in the movie, but yeah, he's going to be there too. And there might be references to Shadow as well with the gun military. And yeah, I think there's going to be a lot going on with this sequel here. I'm very, very intrigued to see how that plays out.
Oh, I'm very excited because when I was growing up, I didn't play a lot of Sonic games, but I do remember playing like one specific one, which I don't remember what it was called, but I know it was old, but I loved playing with the Fox.
And oh, that's Tails.
Yeah, yeah. Tails. I just love Tails so much. I don't know why. It's like, they just look so cool. And I like playing with them. So I remember those days. And I used to play a lot of Sonic as well on my PlayStation 1, 2? I can't remember. One of my PlayStation games or systems I had. And I was like, this looks really fun. And then I'm like, okay, I might enjoy this. And I did. And so I haven't played it since, but it's been years. But I need to probably get back into it at some point.
Yeah, Tails is pretty cool. And I think even people who don't really like Sonic all that much still respect the character designs because they are pretty cool. And Tails is pretty good for when you're just playing sort of like more relaxed, more casually, because Tails can fly so you can get over stuff a bit easier and find different pathways.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like Knuckles, though. Very rude.
Knuckles is actually my favorite Sonic character besides Sonic himself, because I don't know, I do like sort of his attitude, and he's very dedicated to like protecting the Master Emerald, and he's like just as strong as Sonic as is like fast, so it's kind of an interesting rivalry there, even though Knuckles is also very gullible and Dr. Eggman has tricked him into like fighting Sonic to get like Eggman further in his plan and such.
Every time Eggman was funny. Like when I was watching the movie, I'm like, wait a minute, it didn't click to me because I'm like, who is this random person? Like, what is what is Jim Carrey doing? I didn't understand. And then I just like, okay, slowly got into the mix of, you know, Dr. Eggman. Towards, I think at the end of the movie, it clicked.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, he's Dr. Eggman. It all makes sense because I thought he was a random like weirdo from like who loved science so much, who wanted to destroy Sonic. I'm like, oh, okay, sure, whatever, makes sense, whatever. Like, oh, it's Eggman.
Yeah. Yeah, makes with sense. Eggman, like his actual name is Dr. Robotnik, and he used to be called that, but then around like I think Sonic Adventure is when he fully embraced the Dr. Eggman nickname, because Sonic fans be like, hey, look, it's a giant talking egg.
Because he looks like an egg.
Because he's shaped like an egg. And then yeah, we were talking about like Easter eggs and references to the Sonic games earlier in the movie, and I really like how when Jim Carrey was stuck on the Mushroom Planet, which looks a lot like Mushroom Hill Zone, he kind of channeled like the actual Dr. Eggman, because there's like Mike Pollock who voices Dr. Eggman in the games now. And there was like one particular sentence where he sounded so much like him. I was like, whoa, okay, I see where they're going with this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so crazy how a video game can be like a nationwide thing and then it develops into a movie.
Yeah.
Like it's like The Witcher. It's a TV show on Netflix. The Sims had their own reality TV show, but apparently they were going to have a movie like way back in the day, but it never happened. But, you know, reality TV happened, and that was an experience.
Yeah. I've heard you like talk with some of the other people on your podcast about that. Like I watched the Dr. Ashley episode before recording that one, and like I wasn't on it myself, but it was kind of interesting just like watching the show and like reviewing each episode on my channel. It's like, wow, okay, this definitely seemed like an experience, and it looks like it's perfect, but also behind the cameras it's a lot more stressful.
Yeah, and I think that's what people should have seen, maybe, probably not, or like have like listened to it. So I think having the contestants' point of view on episodes are always a kind of a good way to understand like what was going through their mind, how things were, you know, doing. And like, if you had a chance to be on Spark, like, what do you think you would be?
Oh, I'd be a stylist all the way. No really? Doubt about it. I mean, I could probably swing it as a storyteller, too. But the thing is, like, I have this running joke where, well, at least for a while, I was like, I don't build. But sometimes I do now. Like, for Tiny Living, I did a build. And when I hit 25,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel, I did, like, a Sulani build. But otherwise, yeah, I rarely build myself. So I focus a lot more on making sims and telling stories because, especially by the time I finish making a sim, I often, especially for those of you who have attended my live streams, you know, I often spend like half an hour to an hour on one sim because I go into so much detail. So by the time I get into the game, I'm just like, I want to play already. So I just download stuff from the gallery because there's so much talent out there. I'm just like, yeah, let's utilize this talent. And also it's a way of kind of shouting out creators too, and using my platform to get some of those cool builds out there into more people's games.
Exactly. And I'm the exact same way. I'll spend like an hour and a half, like an hour to an hour and a half on one sim. Like I'll do like their face and get all that stuff done, the hair, makeup, whatever. The clothing is where I get in trouble because it takes forever because I have too much custom content in my game, which takes me longer to figure out which one I want, and scrolling through everything and maybe doing all the outfits takes maybe way too long. If I'm going to do a whole family, that's like a 3-hour stream right there. But I am the same way. I do have a tendency of like building a lot in The Sims, like do it way too much now. But I make a sim and then like, I want to build. So I build them a house, or I'll download my old houses from the gallery and renovate that for a little bit and then start doing gameplay for like 30 minutes and I end my stream. But I think that Creative Sim has gotten so much better since like the very beginning of The Sims, like way better skin tone.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's actually good that you brought that up because you remind me of how my playing habits with The Sims have changed over time, because I started playing The Sims 1 like about a year after it came out, and I was around 11, 12 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really spend that much time in Creative Sim because, yeah, part of it is also that it was super simple. But I also played a bit more with the pre-made Sims. And then around like halfway through The Sims 2, that's when I started actually making more of my own Sims and started playing a lot less with the pre-made ones. And then Sims 3, I didn't really create too many Sims because I just don't like Creative Sim as much, even though they did improve it in some ways. I just don't like how clunky it is with the performance. But then Sims 4, that completely brought me back. And now I spend a lot of time in Creative Sim again. And with the skin tones, with like going back to the Spark thing too, I remember how in the very first episode, they had Xmira Mira, and she was talking about how like she made her own custom skin tones because she felt that the game didn't have enough diversity there. And I was like, whoa, I can't believe they're actually highlighting this game's own weaknesses on the show like that. And it made me wonder, because around the time that the show started airing was when like the Black Lives Matter movement started taking off, and we started demanding that the skin tones be properly fixed. And it made me think, okay, well, with the speculation, I could just approach it from this angle that, especially since Mira was on the winning team for Sparked, that maybe she would actually help out with the skin tones and help fix them, because, like, she made those skin tones. It would make so much sense. And, well, that ended up being the truth later on. So that was good that that might have actually ended up being, like, a doorway to help represent us better in The Sims for people of color like you and myself. So that is really good that they did that. And also fixing the base game hair, it's like I was so excited when they fixed the so-called retro afro, like the really big one.
It looks better now. Yeah, we've been through some trials and tribulations in The Sims 4 for almost 8 years, and it's been an emotional roller coaster, but it's been like, I feel like a good one in many different ways, where I don't know, a lot of people who have just started playing The Sims literally this year won't know what was like what it was like way back in 2014. We had a different loading screen. The menu was different. The map was just straight up one color. And we had no pools, no ladders, no half walls, no basements, no terrain tools. No, we had basically nothing from like the bare bones. And then it slowly kind of got upgraded over time, which made the game so much more exciting to play with because there was color, there was diversity, there were new worlds, new sims being added, and more packs were being like made that were making the game more enjoyable at times.
Yeah, it's really been interesting following this journey because even though, I've been playing since The Sims 1, I didn't really start like full-on content creation until towards the end of The Sims 3, summer 2013. That's actually when I remember a lot of people started coming into the community as well. And I did like my Island Paradise Let's Play in Dragon Valley, and then Sims 4 got announced. Actually, it was announced just a little bit before I started. So I did like all the new stuff as all the stuff was like coming out about the base game. And if you saw some of my thumbnails from back then, I was so angry about those like exclusions, like pools and toddlers and so many other things. It's like, what the heck are you doing? Because I like being goofy with my thumbnail stuff. Like I don't try to be like super serious, even though there are some like serious times like that where I give very hard-hitting criticism, but I also like, especially in my thumbnails sometimes, I do sort of like that goofy approach too, which I feel like is something that kind of stands out.
Yeah, and that's what I like about your channel. It's like you're different, and it's, I like that. So watching your videos are enjoyable to watch just because you do well research on all the videos, you're entertaining for your Let's Plays, your creative sims, like you like are a jack of all trades, in my opinion. So watching the videos makes it fun for me, like on a relaxing day, whether it's Sims or non-Sim, like Sonic or something like that. So it's definitely a fun time, I would say.
Oh, thank you. I definitely try my best and keep things interesting because I do feel like I know I could have taken the approach of just literally saying the news and ending it there. But I feel like it is, at least from my perspective, a bit more needed to also give my input and my feedback. Like going back to my journalistic background, I was taught to like, oh, like you can't be biased, you gotta be neutral and get like all sides of the story. And I do try to get all sides of the story, but I do feel like around things like The Sims, I think it's okay to voice my opinions too while talking about like the latest news and such.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of people want to hear the other side of the story, like what you think about it, like not just what the community thinks, like what your opinions are, because you are a person, not a robot or like some type of reporter who is like only has one story and can't say anything else about it. Because I mean, honestly, you do it well and I'm proud.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to like, I mean, I don't really try to hide my bias per se. Yeah. I just know, like, I mean, I'm definitely biased towards things like family play and occult. So I definitely try to voice my opinions in those areas too.
Yeah, same. I try to. I'm working on that part though. Speaking of the fact that you have been on YouTube for a while, I did a scrolly scroll, but you started your channel in 2009. The first video that's on the channel is called Cloud Struggle.
Oh man, I could explain what that is. So I said that I started in summer 2013, but that's like when I started like the full-on content creation. My YouTube channel, yes, has technically been around since that time, because from what I remember with that Cloud Struggle video, I think that was when I was in Austria with my parents many, many years ago. And I just kind of like recorded a video with my camera and I just thought it kind of funny to just have a little bit of narration over it where the cloud is just trying to really get around this mountain because it's so high. And it was like, oh, this cloud, mountain, move out of the way, that sort of thing. Because I actually do like voice acting. I feel like on an alternate Earth, me, I am like some really big voice actor because I just find it so enjoyable, even though I don't get to do it that often. I like doing that because I've grown up with cartoons like Pokemon and Reboot and just like so many other ones. So, yeah. Same. I think even back then I acknowledged, this is kind of like a goofy first upload, but I want to do it.
I mean, honestly, you should be a voice actor. You have like a very like entertaining voice that people like should listen to, whether it's a podcast, like, you know, this one, or, you know, in a video game or a TV show or, I don't know, radio, like whatever it is. Like you just have a very announcing voice. you know, like the announcer voice that you hear on like on the radio or like wrestling matches.
Thank you so much. I definitely feel like that is something I've built up over the years, like going back to like when I said I started volunteering at a radio station and getting into journalism, that sort of stuff. That definitely has come from those sort of like studies and background. And yeah, that would be fun to do more of that. And you brought like the wrestling match sort of voice, and you just remind me of like sometimes on my streams I do sort of like a monster truck rally voice where it's kind of like, come on down to this monster rally to see these trucks just tear each other apart this Saturday 6 p.m
I like that. That's so cool. Oh man, yes, do it. Wait, I had an idea. What if, no, well, we don't have monster trucks in The Sims at all. So I was like, no. Like, wait, you could do like a funny video or like something.
I know in the Dr. Ashley episode, like you're saying, like, oh, like how cool would it be to be approached to do the voiceover for the trailers that they do like for the gameplay ones. I would love to do that. Like if they asked me, I'd be like, yes, please. That'd be so fun.
Sign me up. I'm ready. I think we're all ready at this point. Like, sign us up. Me, Julian, Dr. Ashley. Alrighty, let's go.
It'd be even more on the nose because like one particular feature that I've been very passionate about asking over the years is to have cars in The Sims 4. Because I know there's always the counter argument about like, oh, but it doesn't have open world. But The Sims 2 cars are like really cool and then expand upon that more. So we have to like maintain your cars, maybe have like a mechanic career that's kind of like get to work where you're working in a garage and you see the cars come in and such. I mean, I have a lot of ideas for that I've talked about in my videos, but that's kind of like the short version of it. So it'd be even funnier if it was like they announced that they're bringing out cars and then they have me do the voiceover for it, because it'd be kind of like a meta sort of angle, be like, and I'm trying not to like cry in the middle of the voiceover because it's like, oh, they're finally doing it. So I could maybe do that at the end. It's like, okay, I'm just trying not to get emotional here. I'm very attached to my car, all right?
Yeah, it's like, I need my car. If we could name our cars, that'll be a whole different story.
Oh, yeah, man. And The Sims 3 could do that with the they brought like the fast lane stuff pack.
I did not know that.
Oh, I think they did patch that in for everybody, but it was kind of funny at the same time though, because you could build a relationship with your car and it appeared in the relationship panel like as if it was a normal Sim. I was like, this feels kind of weird. Like, I get the direction where it's like, yeah, like some people have attachments to their cars. I mean, I know I do, but it still felt a bit strange. But yeah, like, I can't remember if it was right away or at a certain relationship level, but yeah, you could name your car whatever you want.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that at all. Now I need to go build some relationships with my Sims car, with my current household. Oh my goodness. That's going to be lovely, because my Sim is about to be a teen and they're about to learn how to drive. I'm very excited about that. Oh man.
Yeah, they could still do that too, I think, even if it was a rabbit hole, even though often I'm more like, no, I want to see my Sims do this stuff over rabbit holes. Like, maybe they could still do like a driving school rabbit hole like they did with the volunteer stuff in Parenthood.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't like the idea of them just being able to drive right away. Same with the bikes. I hope they add like maybe training wheels for kids and have them learn how to do that stuff.
Like, if we had a dedicated generations pack in The Sims 4, I could give them literally many, many, many reasons and things they could add into the pack to make it very, very good. Because I'm a family gamer through and through. I love The Sims 3 Generations with all my heart. So
yeah, definitely. I will admit, it's actually not my favorite expansion pack. That would definitely go to Seasons, but Generations definitely did some things that were needed at the time where there just wasn't enough like family stuff in the base game. So it felt kind of like a gap filler, but still, like, I feel like it's also necessary for The Sims 4 because Parenthood was not really enough. There's still a lot more they can do. Yeah, like having kids learn how to drive and learn how to ride a bike and maybe like go to prom.
Yeah, graduation, you know.
Yeah, graduation, the pillow fighting. It's kind of random, but I really miss that social interaction because we need more that aren't just like talking, just more like actual unique stuff like that.
Yeah, we really do. Hopefully one day we'll get it. But who knows when that will be. We have many years of The Sims 4 left, so this could happen next year, and we might not even know it.
Yeah, they keep saying, like, many more years to come. So I still hope Sims 5 isn't too far away, because I am kind of interested in seeing, like, what the next generation will be all about. How will they innovate and keep it, like, more, like, relevant so it doesn't stagnate and, you know, Paralives will probably be coming out in a couple of years or so.
Yeah.
I hope they still do some things for The Sims 4 that we've been asking for, so it helps build good faith towards another base game that will hopefully start off a lot better than The Sims 4 did. But yeah, I think we'll get Generations at some point. I mean, we tend to get 2 expansion packs a year, and we are getting this Cottage Living expansion in July, so I still think in November we'll get something. And they've done so many of like the predictable expansions at this point, like the pets and university and the city and all that. There isn't really too much left, in my opinion, that they could do as a full-on expansion pack, unless they kind of stretch some other ideas into expansion packs like bands and, well, hobbies they did as an expansion for The Sims 2, and it's one of my favorites. But yeah, I think Generations is like one of the last big ones that they still should do an expansion pack form.
Yeah, big, big ones, and then game packs could be like werewolves and fairies and whatnot, so... what else it could do.
I'm hoping for werewolves, because, I mean, I'm not super interested in the werewolves themselves. They have some interesting aspects, I guess, but mainly for body hair and lunar cycles. I really want those two things.
Yes, I agree. We need body hair back in The Sims, because it feels like our Sims just don't really have any, you know, anything interesting about them outside of, like, you know, the clothing and stuff. But they are definitely adding in some more male features into the game, like more clothing, more hairstyles, more everything, which is so perfect. And if they introduce body hair, that'll be awesome. And then werewolves, and then more things. Especially if they make werewolves. I hope there's like a system-based thing like we had with Realm of Magic and Vampires. That was really cool.
Yeah, the skill tree. That definitely feels like a really good way to do some of those things. And I like how they did that with Get Famous and the celebrities too. So
yeah,
I feel like, especially since vampires and werewolves, I think, are just normally considered to be rivals, it'd only be fair to give werewolves their own game pack as well, with their own skill tree. And if you have both packs, maybe then they could actually have some sort of rivalry going on. I think that would be so fun.
It would. It definitely would be very fun to see how that would be a dynamic between the two rivals or fight and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, because they haven't really done that much, really, in terms of rivalries with occults. Because I guess it was kind of interesting, like with Discovery University, with those two campuses, they did the rivalry thing. So that'd be cool if they also did that for a cult.
Yeah, it would be. So around the time, like 2013, Sims YouTube was like happening and everything. And you did like an Island Living, like Let's Play, and then Dragon Valley around that time.
Yeah.
What like kind of got you into starting to like make those type of videos, like Let's Plays and everything? Like what inspired you to start the whole thing?
So for a little while, I had been watching some of the OGs like Curtis Parody, Andrew Arcade, Rachy Bop, Sims 3 Loser, and Queen, of course. So I definitely miss Queen. She was such an inspiration to me, and I felt very inspired by all of them, and I felt like I could bring my own spin to things, and I wanted to try it out too. So while I do wish I could have started YouTube maybe a little bit earlier, I did get into it because a lot of us at the time, I think even now, many of us use like that blue snowball USB microphone.
Oh,
I waited until I had that to start out. And I used that thing for like 7 or 8 years until finally, like EA Play in 2019, I accidentally dropped it and it broke. And then I got a different mic that's a bit better now. But yeah, I started around that time. And it was like with the Let's Plays, because that's kind of how my channel started out. And now it's a bit more focused on news and speculation. But the angle that I brought to my Let's Plays was I'm inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where they have all these movies that are by themselves, but they also often tie together and sometimes characters appear in each other's movies and such. So I thought, oh, this would be so fun to do in The Sims. So I did a tiny bit of that in The Sims 3, but then in The Sims 4, when you have all worlds in every save, it made that a lot easier for me. So I've done a lot of that sort of stuff where some characters have been in multiple Let's Plays and some that I just even created as just to help fill the world have become promoted to main characters on a Let's Play. That's what happened with my Get Famous one, actually, and my Dream Home Decorator one pretty recently too. So that's been so fun to do even now, even when I don't get to do Let's Plays. holidays as often.
Oh, that's nice. That's really cool. I have not done a Let's Play in like a year and a half, and I'm like, I don't know what it's like anymore. So it's always interesting to hear like from a different perspective, like how they do Let's Plays and when they started and like how they do it and everything. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot since we've started, for sure. I mean, you've been on YouTube even longer than I have. Like, yeah, there's like the Machinima stuff that you've done before, and then the Let's Play started taking off, and now I feel like, I don't know if I'd say Let's Plays are dead exactly, because I know a lot of big channels still do Let's Plays, but it's not really as prominent anymore. And I would say, like, gaming in general, I know a lot of people like to say, oh, it's because The Sims 4 is not as deep and such, but I've seen it across other games as well, including Sonic, where Let's Plays don't really do as well anymore because it requires more investment, not just from our end as the creator, but also for the audience. We have to keep up with like every episode, so you always know the context. Whereas with things like even the speed builds and news videos, you don't really need to watch every single video to know what's going on. And even like the ambient ASMR videos, I briefly mentioned those earlier, like those aren't really I mean, it's a series, but you don't have to watch every one of those. And it's so bizarre how I got the inspiration for those, because I know like Journey to Batuu, not everyone's favorite game pack. Even as a hardcore Star Wars fan, I didn't like it either. But
same.
One thing I know with Star Wars is like their sound editing is on another level.
Oh, yeah. And,
like from the sounds of the lightsabers to like Jango Fett when he drops like those pulsating bombs, are just like that noise. There's like all these really cool sounds that they do all the time. And when they were bringing Star Wars to The Sims, I figured, okay, like maybe I could approach this angle where I focus specifically on the sounds they have in Batuu. And that did decently well, not as well as like my speculation stuff, but still, like, it has a dedicated audience on my channel, I feel, that really helps people like sleep at night or de-stress. So that definitely means a lot to me. Even when those videos don't do like extremely well or go viral, it like helps people. So it keeps me going with those sorts of videos. And it even has, like with The Sims 4, there's a variety of worlds at this point. So there's different angles to approach, like, say, San Myshuno. Not really the first thing you would think of, but I was inspired by another video I saw where it was, like, of the Brooklyn Bridge, and it's, like, several hours of just ASMR of, like, the traffic on the bridge. So I kind of, like, did that with San Myshuno. I think even the first shot I did was of, like, that bridge in the Spice District, so that was kind of, like, my nod to that. So yeah, it does change a lot with YouTube over the years, and you gotta like try and adapt. So as sad as I am to not really do Let's Plays as often, you gotta strike that balance where it's like, you gotta do what you like, but you also gotta pay some attention to what your audience likes to. Otherwise, people won't watch your content as much. So
that's true. Yeah, I would say that with YouTube, it's become more, not exhausting at times it is, but I think with YouTube, it's become more, not the same, but not clickbaity, but it's just like a standstill thing where YouTube goes in waves of the algorithm of people favoring this type of content for so long, and then it drops out and then goes to another wave and another one and another one, like Disney Channel. But
I agree.
The YouTube studio is not so friendly to any creator. If you're a very analytical person, you love analytics and watching the numbers, good for you. But for me, my anxiety just cannot handle that. No. Looking at those numbers are scary, because YouTube ranks people, if people don't know, YouTube ranks your videos on the dashboard, the main menu, from like 1 to 10. Like, what's the most popular video people are still watching, and what's the lowest of the low? And then sometimes it'll say like, oh, people are not watching your videos as much as often, probably stop making that content. Or people are really watching your videos, keep it up, upload more, get more views, get some more money. I'm like, no, YouTube, stop. My mental health cannot take that. So I don't know if you've been like struggling with that at all, with like YouTube and the algorithm and trying to figure out what content works and what doesn't work and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've felt that. I still use the YouTube studio and I can relate to that. Like, I know I've seen you talk about it. I've seen even like our mutual friend Plumbella, Jesse, also speak on that and how stressful it is, especially with that rankings thing. And it is interesting. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I'm not a mathematical person, but I feel like I'm very analytical still So yeah. I do look at these things still. And yeah, definitely is a bummer to see when something like an ambient ASMR video ranks like 9 or 10. But then there's ones like literally right now, I'm looking at my app and seeing like the video I just put out today where it's like hit towards cars and improve babies. That's ranked number 3. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I was hoping people would like it, but it's good to have that confirmation that it's doing well. So yeah, there's that sort of thing. I try not to look at stats as much anymore, but still admittedly check my stuff every day because I really want to know how well I'm doing and where people are coming from, how they're discovering my content. And I will admit, I do have, I guess we could say, a weakness where I do compare myself to people a lot. And I've seen other news channels with like less subscribers than me get the same amount of views or more than me. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What's making... I don't see anything immediately obvious that makes it like when I'm like comparing like their editing style or what they say in their videos. I'm like, I don't see an obvious difference. Like what makes them better than me exactly? So it's not a black and white sort of thing. So it does stress me out too, where I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Nobody seems to be telling me something if it's something obvious. So it's like, what do I do? But I guess I just have to keep doing what I'm doing and like do what people like and kind of adapt and maybe like use inspiration from other people, not copy people, but get inspired by them and see maybe that's what people are looking for. Like look at what these people are doing and maybe there is something from their personality or maybe certain points that they're highlighting where it's like, okay, maybe that is what people like more over there versus what I do. So I know there is also the angle, I think it's more especially prominent with like writers where it's like, okay, I don't really watch too much stuff because I don't want to subconsciously accidentally copy someone else. But I guess in terms of YouTube, it's not really as big a deal. You could still watch other people's videos, even if they do the same genre as you, and it won't be as bad a thing, though I feel like it still happens sometimes. I feel like it used to happen more often where people would accuse others of copying like the biggest content creator at the time, but it's not true because if it's not like doing a let's play of an expansion pack, like you're not copywriting the idea. It's fair for other people to do that. And same with news stuff. Like I don't want to censor anybody else. It's totally fine for other people to do other content that's similar to mine, even though it does kind of like puzzle me when other people somehow do better than me, but it's free speech. Like people are allowed to talk about their opinions on The Sims and whatever else.
Yeah, totally, 100%. Because I think what's like what a lot of people don't know is that with YouTube, it's a free platform. There's literally no limit to how much you can upload, what time, how many, how long. Well, I realize 12 hours is way too long, but it all depends on like what you want to do as a person, how you want to make your videos. Whether it's editing style, like editing different, readapting to, you know, where you're living or what you're doing and what type of content you want to cover. Because with Sims, I feel like so saturated at some times that it's hard to kind of stand out from the crowd at different times and like what you're doing. Because like a lot of people say that Let's Plays are dying, which in a way they are not. It's more so like the algorithm and people assuming that they are dead because they don't really do them anymore. But also the fact that people's attention span, I blame TikTok for this 100%. TikTok is so short and people's attention span has become more shorter and shorter very quickly over the years. That with YouTube and longer content, it's kind of hard to keep the audience very interested in stuff. But it also depends on how you're engaging with your audience in your videos, whether it's face cam, whether it's not face cam, whether it's a video topic that you've done before in the past that was really, really popular and want to resurface it back again. And I think that it takes time to realize that it's not you, it's more so of the platform itself.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially like with the sort of long form sort of content. Maybe people aren't as into that anymore. And also, it is kind of interesting, maybe it's looping around, because I know when YouTube first started out, it was definitely more favorable to do things, maybe not exactly TikTok length, but pretty short, like a few minutes long. And then YouTube was like, oh, okay, no, we want to focus more on longer form content because then you can put more ads in your videos and such. Mm-hmm. And now it might be going a little bit back towards where it started, because you used to have your videos be at least 10 minutes long to have more ad breaks, but now you only need 8 minutes. So that is interesting seeing that change. So I know there's even like when I was in university, I remember there was like, it was mostly in relation to music, but the possibility that pop culture tends to loop back around. It's not always just going in the same sort of direction forever. Sometimes it goes back, and even just nostalgia in general being like a thing now, especially like over the 80s and 90s, I feel like that's very in right now too. So more ways than one, I feel like society is kind of like looping around back to maybe like around the beginning of our lives.
True. I think that eventually YouTube will go back to where it was before. I mean, YouTube Shorts are now a thing, so that's really booming here and there. And I think that it's going to slowly get back into favoring longer pieces of content once more, eventually down the line. But now we want short form, like maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes, no longer than 20 minute long videos, at least maybe 15 and below. It's a good stance for what YouTube favors is what I can see. But again, it all depends on, you know, the things you do. But
yeah, I am trying to do that now. Even with my Let's Plays, the Dream Home Decorator one was a good sort of kind of like testing the waters for shorter Let's Plays, because I did only 3 episodes. And I guess the Let's Plays overall were too much shorter per episode. But I am trying to cut them down a lot more now than I used to, where I cut out more of the slower bits and include the more like funnier and interesting themes. Yeah. So I'm thinking like I am planning on doing a Let's Play for Cottage Living, and I might keep that to around 10 parts or so. Since it's an expansion pack, yeah, I'll have more to explore than a game pack. And I'm not a builder, as I said before, so I felt like I didn't have much to work with for Dream Home Decorator. So that was kind of nice to kind of experiment with that. So we'll see how it goes. So yeah, maybe people will be into that.
Yeah. Because I feel like for me, I've always done this because I always wanted to do Let's Plays based on the packs. And I know myself as a person will get bored very quickly. I would need to create my own separate thing, but involve those packs into it, but not call it Sims 4 Cottage Living expansion pack trailer or like Let's Play. Because I don't know, I feel like I would be boxed into just that instead of like having it being like, you know, having it separate would be better for my creativity.
Yeah, I do try to integrate packs together as much as I can in my Let's Plays, even if it's not the main focus. But one time I did do something pretty different was when Discovery University came out. I actually called mine Supernatural University because all my playable characters in that were supernaturals, because I brought in a spellcaster who I grew up from a teenager, and I had her room with a couple of the vampire siblings who are part of my vampire slot. So I had all three of those live together, and that was so fun, incorporating more of like a supernatural angle with university.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with like the Brightchester University, UBright, that campus specifically kind of like reminded me of Hogwarts with like the old fashioned buildings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love Brightchester. That world's so amazing. I need another world like that, but bigger, like Windenburg size.
Yeah, I do feel like, unfortunately, we won't get a world that size again. Like with the previous games, you have one world per save, not counting university and the vacation worlds. But then Sims 4, you have all the worlds in every save, which definitely has its advantages, like being able to have Sims cross over more easily. But then, yeah, I gotta worry about like save file size and performance and that sort of thing. So I think at the beginning, they didn't realize that. So they made the bigger worlds like Samashuto and Windenburg. And then around the time I got famous, that's when the world started shrinking a lot. And they're like, oh, no, performance. We got to really keep that in mind more now if we're going to keep going with The Sims 4 for many more years.
True. Smaller is better at some times for Sims. But yeah, performance. I think of The Sims 3, like, oh, no. That world was much. At least now, though, with The Sims, it's been changing a lot where the worlds, like The Sims 2 was like, you go to a lot, it's packed. Sims 3, empty. Maybe one or two Sims. Sims 4, medium size between the two. So, but I think it all depends on how many Sims you have in your world, actually. But
yeah, that's definitely part of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that we have more of a semi-open world with The Sims 4 than like closed off like The Sims 2.
Yeah, definitely. Because in The Sims 2, even, you're stuck to the grid of the lot. You cannot roam around the space around it. But in The Sims 4, you can. So I do like that it is still in between The Sims 2 and Sims 3, even though ideally I would have had it be open neighborhood where you don't need to hit a loading screen if you're visiting your next door neighbor. So hopefully The Sims 5 will at least do that and make neighborhoods bigger, maybe like twice the size of what The Sims 4 has. But yeah, I guess that was also like online thing with what The Sims 4 is supposed to be. So they had that limitation.
True.
Because they have actually, they rarely ever say that, no, we can't do this, it's not going to happen. But they did say that with both open world and open neighborhoods for The Sims 4. They're just like, no, this is a limitation with our code architecture. We cannot do this at any point. So yeah, we'll have to wait until The Sims 5 for that. Like, I almost feel like that alone is a reason to make another base game so we can have a more open world again.
Yeah, I've always said this to people that, you know, open world, when you play The Sims 3, it's like running like hot garbage on a Sunday morning, because Sims 3 is like an open world and it's too much and everything's running in the background at all times. And it's kind of hard to like maintain all of that performance, and having to lower the quality of certain things is kind of boring and not enjoyable. So at least I would love open neighborhoods and like semi-open world, like mixing the two, like where your Sims live, that whole general area is open to your Sims, no loading screen. And if you want to go to a different like part of the map, or a different world, then there's a loading screen. But that's just me on how I would personally do it.
Yeah, with The Sims 3, they definitely tried to really make it as realistic as possible. Because say in like other open world games, you kind of have the NPCs, they're just kind of always in the same spot. And they just appear in when you're close. But then with The Sims 3, they have it more realistic where the Sims are always doing their own thing. So basically when you go to the park, it's like as if other Sims are following you. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, but then it's what they have to do. So I hope with The Sims 5, they could do something that's at least semi-open world. But then if you want to go to another neighborhood, there'd be sort of like a slower paced area that you go through, like a tunnel, or maybe you get on a train or go on a boat. So it loads the next neighborhood in while you're still doing something. There's games like Tony Hawk's American Wasteland and SSX 3 where it does that. So you're still playing, but you're not like in a conventional loading screen per se. And I really like that. I hope with The Sims 5, they could maybe approach that angle. So there are still like considering the lower end PCs, but still making the game more open than what The Sims 4 was.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Yeah, okay, I'd be fine. Yeah, if they make it where the game is open world and still think of the lower end PC players, okay, yeah, I can deal with that. Yeah, sure, I'll be okay. Moving on to my next question that I wanted to ask you, since we were thinking, and we know, cottage living is now a thing. It is going to be coming out next month.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very excited. I've always wanted farming. And when I was looking at some videos for like that I want to do in the future, I came across, and I quote, your videos once more about way back in the day of The Sims 3 for the Farm Fresh Folk set.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the grandpa one and a few other ones too. Like, you did a lot of like farming related videos, and I'm like, thank you, because I'm like, I was clueless. I didn't even know we had that stuff until a couple of years ago, because I think I remember watching it not the day it came out, but like somewhere like around that same year it came out. So those were the good old days.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how somehow a lot of people didn't know about the Sims 3 store at the time. I guess it's just because it was almost all online. Like, yeah, they had like the code in a box for the world, some of the later ones like Monte Vista, but I'm fairly sure that the chicken coop was actually the best-selling item on the Sims 3 store. So that made me really think that, okay, like, I know they haven't done a full-on expansion pack for farming before, but I think they will do it for The Sims 4 eventually, because that sold so well.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, now that we're getting, you know, chickens, cows, llamas, and then, like, as, like, you know, as, like, a farm animals, and then rabbits and foxes are in the wild, and the birds too. I like that mixture of those type of creatures, because the Sims 3, we had rabbits, I think, but we couldn't really do much with them. Like, they were in a cage, I think.
Yeah, well, I don't
Did we have? I don't think we had rabbits.
I don't think so. No, because a lot of you saying like, oh yeah, I would really like to see bunnies in one day because we haven't really had them before. Like we've had chinchillas in The Sims 3 and some other smaller pets like hamsters and birds. But yeah, I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've had bunnies. But the one, if you saw my reaction video, I literally screamed when the llama showed up.
Oh my god!
Because the thing is, I've been requesting llamas for a long time, because even with the older Maxis games, even before The Sims, they have like that sort of joke where The Sims kind of like look up to llamas and really idolize them and that sort of thing. But I've had this question in my mind for years where it's like, well, what do real llamas look like in The Sims? Because we've only had like those mascot costumes in the university packs. But what do the actual animal llamas look like? And finally, that question is being answered. Even with my superhero Sims, the green llama has that story arc where he like looks up to the llamas too, but he wants to know what real llamas look like. So I'm going to probably have some funny like side story where he actually sees them for real and maybe starts a llama farm or something.
Oh, that would be so cool. Because I was thinking llama children. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. Unfortunately, though, Singer Romeo did say we can only breed chickens. So
sadly,
maybe mods will come through as they usually do, but we'll see.
It'll happen. I already know it at this point because, you know, the modded community is wildly insane. Like, the Farmland mod pack is, announced around the same time. So I'm like, it's going to be interesting. It's going to break something. Yeah. I already know it. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the downside of mods. But still, I'd say it's an overall gain because, like, even for the games that are generally considered really great, like The Sims 2, there's so many great mods that already make a great game even better. So,
oh, yeah, most definitely. I feel like if mods did not exist, The Sims 4 or actually any game would not be where they are today. And what they are like now.
Yeah.
Because people gather inspiration from like a lot of places. Like the developers are real people. So they are like actual humans that, you know, look for inspiration, ask help, and, you know, ask questions and all that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be where it is today. I mean, it probably would, but be way, way different, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that, you know, eventually when we do get cottage living, it's going to be like a whole new world. I wonder how big the world's going to be because I have no idea. Because I know that we're getting one 64 by 64 lot, and then I don't know about the other ones. But I wonder like how big the map is.
Yeah, they haven't really revealed too much about the world at the time we're recording this. But Romeo did say that we're getting 12 lots in total, but okay. Which definitely is really small, in my opinion, but maybe the world itself will still have a lot of open space. Like, there's that one shot with the big waterfall and this, like, river that I'm pretty sure we can swim in. So they might still have big open areas, but unfortunately the number of lots is not going to be too much. But still, I'm, like, easily the most excited I've been for an expansion pack or any pack since maybe Discovery University. But even then, I think my excitement is almost on par with Seasons because it's my second most wanted expansion besides Generation. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually excited about this.
Because, I was so excited. I screamed for like 2 days because of when the pack finally gave him farming. It's going to be great. And it's actually happening and it's real. And there was too much in the trailer for me to be excited about that I just lost my mind. And it was just wild. I'm like, what?
I feel like they actually are starting to listen to us more this year because last year was so like focused on experimental stuff. Yeah, there was the knitting pack that we voted for. But other than that, it was like, okay, eco lifestyle. Snowyscape did mix some things that we wanted, like more Japanese representation and like a winter place. Yeah. But a lot of it was just like so experimental, off the beaten track. And understandably, a lot of us were angry about that. But now this year, I think they're starting to actually do more requests. Like they put in the scared emotion. They did like the paranormal stuff we were talking about earlier, where it's like half of the Happy Haunts idea. And I know Dream Home Decorator was not everyone's cup of tea, including me. But I mean, I still even wanted the interior decorator career to come back at some point. I wasn't thinking like its own pack, but yeah, that's a thing. And also the free updates. I feel like actually more so the updates this year have been carrying 2021. Like, the scared emotion, the bunk beds, even though I wish they had waited until they were fully functional to include those. But yeah, that's the improvements to the traits and the pawn tool that we're going to be getting as well, and other stuff too, I'm sure we'll get later in the year. So I feel like it took a lot longer than it should have, but they're actually like listening to us more. And oh yeah, and the anniversary update where they actually worked with custom content creators. I hope they do more of that too.
I hope so too.
Yeah, that's in like the Game Changers building the lots. Like, yeah, Dr. Ashley like built the haunted house, and they've had like some people in the UK built like their lots for this new expansion pack, and the ones for Snowy Escape and Simprude making like the crane for Evergreen Harbor. That was cool.
It was. There's just like, it's becoming more exciting to see creators create new stuff in the official pack of the houses. And hopefully one day, you know, the families and their backstories and everything, because that will be hands down the best thing that will ever happen. Like, if I could build and make the sim, dream come true. Yeah, I'm just happy that they're involving more people into the process of everything, because it makes it more exciting when you see others involved with it rather than, you know, the developers, which who still make the game. But being able to see someone from the outside in do something, it's just fun.
Yeah, that is cool. Like, it works in more ways than one, because it's a great community gesture to have your players involved. And also, I feel like the builds have just drastically improved in quality, because let's be honest, the pre-made builds aren't often the best, and they're missing toilets and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I know there was like the missing trash can in one of the builds. I'm not going to say who, but overall, though, still, even though we all make mistakes, it's still overall being a lot better, in my opinion, having Game Changers do builds, and hopefully they even reach to like people who aren't even in the Game Changers program but are known as like having Sony like quality builds, so it's not just limited to like people within like the EA circle.
That'd be interesting to see. I would be kind of excited to see what they do, people outside the EA Game Changer program, and you know, outside of like the Sims community, like who have played The Sims, but is like a major professional, like making the art maybe, or making a build or like something.
That's a good idea, actually. Someone like, there's a painting and then it's actually made by someone known in the community for making some really cool paintings. Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be amazing. Like, we need more involvement, some more diversity and everything, because the people who make the art in The Sims deserve a raise, because that art is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, true. The Sims 4 is a very aesthetically pleasing game, for sure.
It is. So, do you see yourself doing YouTube and Twitch for a very long time, like the end of, you know, whenever The Sims ends? Like, even if The Sims ends, like, I don't know, next year, would you still, like, do YouTube and stuff and Twitch?
Yeah, definitely. I've heard this from other people, too, where we don't really have so much of like, oh, we'll stop doing content creation at this age or this year. I just feel like just keep going as long as I'm enjoying it. So I've been doing this for getting closer to a decade now, and I don't have any plans on stopping. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where things go, especially since like The Sims is not going to be the only big life sim on the block for much longer. Like, I know we talked about Paralyzed, but there's also like Little Sim World. That's a game that I've been playing on my channel too that looks really promising. It is doing a little bit more of its own thing. I'm not sure if you've seen anything about it. But
oh, yeah. I'm a Patreon of them. Very excited.
Oh, cool. Me too.
Yeah.
That was like the first Patreon that I actually signed up for. It's like, it kind of takes a bit more Animal Crossing influence too, but still has like the motives and other stuff from The Sims. So I'm really interested in seeing how the game turns out on its final release, because I've been playing the early builds and very promising stuff going on.
Oh yeah, same. I'm just looking forward to seeing like how things like change over time, like in the next 5 years or so. But I could still see myself doing all of this. Like, I mean, I'll still do a podcast. It might change here and there, but I think if I could not do gaming anymore, it would probably still be gaming, but like other games still, and vlogging, and then lifestyle content, because I'm into that stuff. So yeah, that'd be interesting, because that's cool, because I feel like there's really no set age or time frame that, oh, okay, I'm 30 years old, I'll just stop making content all over again, like just do something else and move on. But no, it's like, it's a forever thing, because you see like 90 year olds on YouTube making video content. Like, I remember there's this one lady who's like, I think 80 something years old or something. Mm-hmm. who like made Animal Crossing content.
Yes, I remember that.
So, I mean, like anyone can make anything, no matter how old you are. You could be 5 years old with parent supervision and make YouTube videos. So, I mean, there's like literal kids making millions of dollars off of like, you know, YouTube videos and sponsorships and stuff. So it's definitely an all person thing, is how I would put it.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of room for doing sort of like variety content and branching out to different games. I mean, I try to keep it mostly Sims on my YouTube channel, but on Twitch, I do a little bit more of other games too. Like, for example, on my Twitch channel, I do Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is on the Nintendo Switch, and it's sort of like a strategy RPG game. And I'm doing my Golden Deer playthrough because there's different storylines that you can follow with completely different endings. And That's been a blast to play through. I've been streaming that for like over a year now because that's such a long game. But it has been interesting also getting into Twitch. And I feel like it is a bit more open to variety content because you also have the live feedback instead of it just putting up a video, you're talking to a wall, and then it's like, okay, let's see what people think now after the fact that I've made this. But then it's like, oh, okay, I can go through this game and then people can chat with me about whatever, about Star Wars or whatever, and then also can help me out if I'm stuck somewhere. So that's really interesting, too. I think Twitch is, and just live streaming services in general, have also helped expand the umbrella of content creation and prevent it from getting too stale.
Yeah, because when you do one thing for so long and then you do it on another platform with the same content, it gets kind of like, eh. But yeah, live streaming has made it so much easier over the years to step out of your comfort zone and try and experiment new things that you haven't done before or something in the same genre that you enjoy doing. So, Twitch has made it more fun, at least for me in the past like 2 years or so since we've been inside.
Yeah, I know you've been doing very well with Twitch and it's awesome to see.
Been doing too much. I need to slow down. But, you know, hey, things could happen for you and a lot of things, you know, The Sims is still forever growing and changing and there could be more exciting things that you could be involved in, like voice acting, like hello.
Yeah, I am trying to actually push for partner on Twitch right now. And we are making some headway. So I hope I'm one of the next Simmers to become partnered because I know there have been a lot of us that have been posting on Twitter like, oh, my gosh, I got partnered. Woo!
I hope so, because that'd be cool. Because like Simmers have been getting partnered on Twitch a lot more since the Pamorama, and that's been great. So you're next.
I hope so. Yeah, especially like, yeah, around that time, that was also when Animal Crossing New Horizons came out. And that's when I started to stream more often.
Yeah, that's cool. I need to watch your streams more. I've just been like, you stream at a different time than me. So true. I gotta definitely shift my schedule to watch your streams more. I'm always looking for a stream to like lurk in and listen to while I'm working. But here's one last question before we hop into some rapid fire ones, really rapid fire, actually. What would you give to someone that wants to get into this space like Sears? Like what should they focus on?
Well, it's definitely an interesting question because things have changed so much since I've gotten into it. It's more competitive. And I also feel like the standard in terms of the video production quality is also higher than before where you could just maybe work with like your webcam mic and just grow from there. But one thing I would say is that sound is more important than you think. If the video quality isn't the best visually, it's not as bad. But if people can hear you really well, then I think more people tend to pay attention to that and your voice, because that's also part of your uniqueness comes from and how you stand out with your personality. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, like sound is more important than the visuals. And I would say, like, don't try to chase the trends too hard, because I feel like at this point, just like, yeah, sure, Ninja got really popular because of Fortnite. But just because you start doing Fortnite does not mean you'll get the same success that he does. So maybe so if it's anticipating a trend before it blows up, and then maybe that will kind of make you become the next Ninja in a sense. But yeah, try to bring your own spin to things, kind of like what I was saying before. There's like some content that I've done, like even the news and speculation videos, that wasn't really as prominent at the time within the Sims community specifically as it is now. So I felt like in a way, I kind of helped push that. And also with the reaction videos, when I started doing those around Get Together, I didn't see too many reaction videos or trailers at the times. But now, like, there, I saw so many of those just even for Cottage Living. So I'm kind of glad that I helped kind of, like, have that take off where we see, like, all these different reactions and these different opinions and angles on stuff from, like, a limo perspective or a builder's perspective and that sort of thing. So that, and I know it's very cliche, like, the whole be yourself, but I do feel like it does apply in a way where try to be, like, your own unique person. Be true to yourself. Don't fake a personality, because eventually people will catch on to that. As long as you're being honest, just know that living your truth and you're being true to yourself, even when people try as, like, as hard as they can to convince you that, oh, like, you're too negative or you're too positive or you're faking your voice or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
That's just weird how a lot of people tend to push people's buttons to saying, no, you're this. You're completely this. You're faking the entire thing, but in reality, you aren't. But yeah, the key thing is to always be your true, authentic selves, no matter what people say, because honesty is the best policy, as I always say. And making things you, like, making the content that you enjoy, making it you, will make it so much better in the long run. Are you ready for some rapid fire questions? Because I got a few.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. For Nintendo, who's your favorite Sonic character?
Ooh, yes, my favorite Sonic character. So I do feel like it's an easy answer to say Sonic the Hedgehog himself, but I do feel like I relate to him sometimes, where he has, like, this very carefree attitude, like the wind, and stands up for himself and his friends and that sort of thing. And I guess I already gave my explanation for, like, Knuckles being, like, the runner-up, but also I really like Silver the Hedgehog, who's, like, a more recent sort of character, although I guess Sonic 06 is getting close to a decade old at this point, but still, or over that, actually, because 2006. But yeah, I like his sort of, like, personality, where he's not perfect. Like, he's one of the most powerful Sonic characters, where he has, like, the psychokinesis, where he can, like, lift things and all that stuff, and he comes from the future. But he's also a bit naive and a bit vulnerable, a little bit gullible as well. So yeah, those are, like, my top three Sonic characters. So I guess I gave you a little bit more than you asked, but yeah.
all good. If you could have any superpower in the world, what would it be?
Oh, that is such a good question. I'm honestly kind of surprised we didn't get too much into, like, superhero talk, but oh man, I feel like it probably would be either teleportation or flight, because I like the ability to kind of, like, fly around and kind of see the world, because yeah, that's part of, like, the reason I look up to, like, well, maybe not look up to, but why I like seagulls, because they're really funny and they, like, fly around and stuff and they do their thing and it's like, oh. But yeah, flying, just the freedom of it, I'm sure that probably feels amazing to do. And then with teleportation, you could just easily, like, you could kind of, like, take down that sort of distance, because sometimes I like imagining just how, like, some of us simmers could, like, be together and maybe, like, live in the same house or something and just, like, record all these collabs together, where normally it'd be so, like, hard to do.
Yeah.
So teleportation would be easier to, like, get around without having to worry about, like, oh, how long is it gonna take me to get somewhere? I don't want to be late. So yeah, definitely those two. Like, super speed as well, but that's kind of, like, a slower teleportation if you think about it.
Okay. I like that idea. I'd probably do flying too. Which is your favorite Sims game? Sims 1, 2, 3, or 4? Or I guess any version of The Sims from the spinoffs.
Yeah, this is always an interesting question, because I always have a different answer for what's my favorite versus which I think is the best. Because I think Sims 2 is the best, but my personal favorite is actually the original, The Sims 1.
Really?
I love the sort of, like, quirky atmosphere, even with the primitive graphics. I feel like the style of it is very, like, endearing, and the music is my favorite soundtrack. I freaking love that. Just the Unleashed music and Superstar music and Make and Magic especially. They have such good soundtracks that I listen to in my own time, and even if it gets overbearing at times, the challenge is quite interesting. And so the expansions, like, yeah, Unleashed and Superstar. Unleashed is actually my favorite expansion pack of all time in The Sims. So yeah, Sims 1, the OG, my favorite.
Oh, classic. I played The Sims 1, but I really couldn't get into it. I guess because I was so young when it first came out that I didn't know what I was doing. So that makes sense. I was like 4.
Yeah, I mean, I was like that too, because The Sims 1, I actually played kind of on and off. And then when a new pack came out, then I would come back to it. It was more with The Sims 2 that I got consistently hooked from there on.
Yeah, same. And then the last question, who's your favorite Animal Crossing character?
That's actually a hard question, because there's two that I really like and it's hard to choose, but I think one might slightly edge out the other, because one of them is Julian, the same name as me. It's like, oh, this unicorn that has the same name as me. And he's so cool. I really like his style and the house that he has. But my favorite, I think I would say by a small margin, is Sprinkle, because she's so cute and I love penguins. They're actually my favorite bird besides seagulls. I love penguins. So Sprinkle is like my my favorite villager that I actually still have on my island, and one of the only villagers that I have like the little photo for.
See, I've never gotten any of the photos. I've learned that I have to give them like fossils and stuff to gain that friendship more, but man, I have Sprinkles on my island too, but still haven't got one.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I wasn't sure. I didn't even know about the portrait thing for quite a while, and then when I learned about it, it's like, oh, okay, so that's how you do it, because Sprinkle was not the first villager, surprisingly, that I got a photo for. The first one I got was Pashmina, and she was one of my OG villagers that arrived with me on the plane, and then Sprinkle I found when I was doing like the quest where you have to like fill 3 houses at the same time, and Sprinkle was the last one who showed up. So that might have been part of why I got Pashmina first, but it still felt kind of random, because I think I usually talk to Sprinkle a bit more. But yeah, that's interesting how that unfolded. And I think to this day, they're still the only two villagers I have the pictures for, because you have to be really close with the villager to get them.
True. It's just like hard work, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's been such a pleasure talking to you again. It's been such a long time since we've got to like catch up like this.
I know. That's why I enjoy doing these podcast episodes with all like my friends and hanging out with them for like an hour and a half or so. So where can the listeners find you?
I'm on a bunch of different platforms. So you can find me at my YouTube channel, Iron Seagull. And on my Twitter, I actually did a punny thing where it's iron_seagull, but it's the letter C followed by gull. Because we had like the worst character limit at the time I made my account. So that was part of the reason. But I thought, oh, yeah, that's also kind of funny to have the pun. And I'm also on Twitch with iron_seagull, but it is just like the regular like seagull thing. I am also on Instagram. Actually, I think it is like the Twitter one. And I did join TikTok. Yeah, I'm also on TikTok with iron_seagull. So and I'm also on Tumblr with Iron Seagull. I mostly reblog custom content like Maxis match stuff, but I am starting to post some of my videos on there too. So yeah, I'm on a lot of stuff.
So I hope you all enjoyed today's episode with Iron Seagull or Julian. I definitely sure did, because I always have so much fun being able to chat with my guests here and there on this podcast about The Sims, YouTube, Twitch, behind the scenes of being a content creator, the highs and the lows about, you know, life and content creation and so much more. And being able to just have a sit down conversation and open and honest and just chill out and just talk about whatever feels great. And so hopefully you all learned a little bit more about Iron Seagull and about his YouTube channel, his life, his background, and everything, and all that jazz. But make sure you go ahead and follow and subscribe to him on all of his platforms. All of his links will be down below in the show notes. But go ahead and follow and subscribe to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you're releasing your podcast. And I will hear from y'all next week.